Pat's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. That's how you interact with the show. Coming up on today's show, we'll kick it off with Jay Mitchell here in just a moment. He's running for Attorney General, but also on the program, Barry Moore. That's in about a half hour. He's candidate for United States Senate. Our Thursday regular April Marie Fogle, because you never can have enough April Marie Fogle on the airwaves at FM Talk 106.5. She'll be at the 10 o'clock hour. And then my buddy Sam Roberts from the Coleman Daily, running these tracking polls. And we'll just kind of get his input on where these races are and what the trends are in this upcoming midterm coming up on Tuesday. Once again, text line 251-343-0106 if you need to be in touch with the program. Joining us here at the Fairhope Bureau, and we're testing some gear here, but Jay Mitchell, former Alabama Supreme Court Justice here. Jay, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Dragging a little bit this morning. I stayed up past my bedtime watching the end of that Knicks-Spurs game last night. Doing great.
I guess that it's a special occasion, you know, historic event. You're allowed. Yeah. Well, tell us, how's the campaign going?
It's going great, getting all around the state. We are 5 days away from the runoff, as your listeners know, and so just really trying to pop up in all the right parts of the state to remind everybody it's important to go vote on Tuesday and to encourage them to go vote for me for Attorney General.
Well, I guess we kind of hit some of the things we hit Monday night, I guess. First off, a lot of us be paying attention to the redistricting. You get elected Attorney General, considers a new phase. You feel good about where we are. The Supreme Court seems to have really sent a strong, clear message to the lower courts, but we still got to go through the formalities and the processes.
Right. Well, my hope is that as we've moved beyond this year, we'll have an opportunity for the legislature to come back in and draw new maps that will allow Alabama to send 7 House Republicans to Washington. We've seen really, even in recent days, just how razor thin the margin is for Republicans in the U.S. House. President Trump needs all the reinforcements he can get, and we need to maximize the opportunities we have here in Alabama.
Well, that one's to be continued. Something you and your opponent, Katherine Robertson, really talked about, even I have a hard time kind of comprehending the back and forth here, and I follow this every day. But you guys have been kind of exchanging barbs back and forth about the dark money, quote unquote, and who's taking money from who. And can you kind of walk us through that? And why do you think this is important at this stage of this campaign?
Well, it's important because, number one, the voters of Alabama deserve transparency about who's supporting each of the candidates in the race. And that's the whole purpose of why we had the Fair Campaign Practices Act here in Alabama, is to make sure that candidates and those participating in the political process seeking to influence our elections disclose all of that. And the reason it's important is because, look, let's be real. You're going to dance with the one who brought you. And if there are a lot of people pouring money into one of our campaigns and it's not being disclosed properly, it deprives voters of that information to know exactly who Jay or his opponent might be picking up the phone and answering calls from once they're Attorney General. The contrast here is very clear. Look, we got to go raise money to get these ads up on the radio, up on TV.
Right.
That's just the practicality here. 97% of the dollars I've raised in this race are from right here in Alabama. It's individuals, it's families, it's businesses. And it's 100% disclosed with the Secretary of State's office. Any voter out there can go and look up who's given to me and who's supporting me. And I think that's important information for voters to have. By contrast, my opponent, I believe it's over $3 million in dark money is supporting her campaign. That's the vast majority of the dollars that have been raised there. And, you know, they try to put a DBA, a storefront name. Oh, it's maybe this group or that group. But it's missing the important piece, which is who's putting money into that group, into this new 501c4 shell company that's being used. I think the voters of Alabama deserve to know who is funding each of our campaigns. And these dark money shell company, shell entities are being used to skirt around Alabama campaign disclosure law. And I think that's a problem.
Well, and we saw it, I guess, in the primary with some of these legislative races. But that's something that maybe, obviously, you're not going to get any kind of solution or any kind of remedy in the short term. But in the long term, kind of a lesson we need to learn from this campaign cycle?
Yeah, I think so. You know, State Senator Arthur Orr from Decatur has proposed a bill, certainly last session, maybe the last couple of sessions, that hadn't gone anywhere. That would really close that loophole. I think after this election cycle, we've seen a ton of dark money come in from D.C. and out of state, trying to influence all kinds of races, most of all the attorney general's race. And so there may be a growing appetite to do something legislatively to close that up.
Yeah, well,
I would support that.
It's come up a lot. Let's talk about some other things. I guess as attorney general, I mean, you're the chief law enforcement officer. We've had crime problems in our big metropolitan areas, you know, and there's talk about what to do about it. And what we're finding is, and maybe Mobile to some degree, but more so like a Montgomery and a Birmingham. And I know they have these crime suppression units and the state's really chipping in here. But at what point do you hold these localities responsible for their own safe streets that the state has to chip in? It's the burden on everybody across the entire state to police Montgomery, Alabama. What are we getting out of it? Why can't they do it themselves?
Well, I think you summarized that very aptly. The problems we have with violent crime in Alabama are primarily centered in our blue cities. And Montgomery and Birmingham in recent years have been the two poster children for that. Birmingham's reversed some things in the last year. They're getting more police officers in. We got to make sure that that turns into a trend line and is sustained in a way that will really allow the citizens of Birmingham and the surrounding areas to be protected. But Montgomery continues to be a real problem. And what we've seen there is we've seen terrible failed leadership
right
from the Blue City mayor, running soft on crime policies, not backing up their law enforcement officers when the going gets tough. And as a result, you've seen recruitment and retention of police officers in the Montgomery Police Department fall off a cliff. And it's a major problem. You know, approximate cause of that, and we've been bringing awareness of this in our campaign, was the prosecution of Officer Cody Smith, former Montgomery police officer who was out patrolling a very dangerous district of Montgomery about 10 years ago, had to apprehend a guy who fit the description of a dangerous suspect. Guy got away from him. Cody followed his training, had to shoot the guy. Ultimately, the guy died. Cody was prosecuted for that. Was prosecuted, convicted, sent to limestone prison. My opponent was part of the effort to keep him in prison. And that case came to my court, to the Alabama Supreme Court, when I was a justice there. I ended up writing an opinion. We couldn't give him the relief he was seeking at the time because of procedural reasons. But I wrote an opinion saying, hey, based on my review of the undisputed facts here, there's no way this guy ever should have been prosecuted, much less convicted. This was post-Ferguson. A lot of stuff in the atmosphere here. But after my opinion came out, the AG's office did a 180, went and pleaded him out of prison for time served. And he had the opportunity to come home to his family. But here's why I point this out to your listeners. Number one, he never should have been prosecuted. And the fact that my opponent was part of making him plead to a felony to come out of prison, that's a terrible injustice. But the other reason I pointed out, Montgomery police officer ranks were around 600 when Cody was patrolling. After his prosecution and conviction, recruitment and retention fell off a cliff. And they're around 200 today, if you're believing the numbers coming out of Montgomery. And so you've lost police presence in Montgomery, which has made the streets much more dangerous. And obviously it becomes a real burden to deterring violent crime as well. So we in state government, if the Blue Cities can't get it together, we're going to have to step in and do more. Coach has talked about potentially sending in the National Guard to Montgomery.
Right.
I would support that. I think we can do it in a way that's strategic and precise and would help the people of that city and help those of us who live around those areas as well.
Well, how do you find that right balance, though? So there are clearly abuses within law enforcement, and they do need to be held accountable for what they do. You know, and I know that every sort of one of these stories is very unique and different, you know, in its circumstances. But at what point, I mean, finding that right balance and holding bad policing accountable versus not giving in to the mob and the politics of the day, that there's there's a balance that we're always trying to achieve, but we never quite get there, and it seems it's kind of drowned out because of politics.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt there can be a bad apple in every bushel, right? You can have a bad police officer who doesn't do it right. So, that, you know, there needs to be accountability there. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about police officers who are having to make tough split-second decisions and apprehending dangerous suspects, following the law, following their training, and then because of politics, because of something other than the law, being prosecuted and potentially convicted for that. One thing I'm going to do, Jeff, when I'm Attorney General, we are going to form what I'm calling the critical incident assessment team. Whenever there's a deadly officer-involved shooting like we saw in Montgomery with Officer Cody Smith, I'm not going to put my head in the sand on that. Right. I want to make sure that I, as Attorney General, am briefed early about that. I'm going to bring together a team of seasoned, excellent law enforcement leaders to look at the dash cam, look at the body cam, look at other applicable evidence, hold that up to the law and to the training standards that our peace officers are required to follow, and then advise me about what needs to happen here. We've got great DAs across the state who do great work, follow the law, and we need to trust our DAs to continue to do the great work that they're doing. But what I want to make sure is if there's anything other than the law being the consideration, I want to get more directly involved on the front end of that, not wait to the back end of that.
Joined by Jay Mitchell. He's former Alabama Supreme Court Justice, running for Attorney General here in Alabama next Tuesday. He's in a runoff with Catherine Robertson. Jay, the other thing, and there is a chance, and you said you think that we'll get a Republican in 28, but if we don't, you know, it's going to be on guard, you know, federal overreach. And how much would a Democrat administration try to come in, roll back what Donald Trump has done, but in a punitive manner toward this state, things that the legislature does, that, you know, whatever Democrat administration, the DOJ, it comes after to the state. Is that something that we really got to be thinking about, I think, going forward as it pertains to your office if elected?
Well, as I said at the debate the other night, my belief is that the best defense is a good offense. And so what we've got to do in the remaining 2 years that President Trump will be in office, unless we can figure out a way to keep him there longer, we've got to make sure we go on offense with the president and with soon-to-be Governor Tuberville to make sure that we're moving the baseline at the national level.
Right.
So that if a Democrat did get elected in 2028 or sometime soon thereafter, they're starting from much further back. It's much more difficult through the bureaucracy, through the courts, for them to do things in a way that would be oppressive to states like Alabama. So I think it's really important that we have an AG coming in with the right mentality, the right attitude, so that we can really maximize our opportunities in the last 2 years of the Trump 2 administration. Beyond that, look, it's going to be, if we have a Democrat in 2028 taking the oath of office in 2029, it's going to be a war. And what Alabama is going to need is that they're going to need a courtroom warrior to take on those fights. I'm the only candidate in this runoff who has real courtroom experience. I spent 16 years in front of judges and juries, was consistently ranked as one of the top courtroom lawyers in Alabama and in the United States. I spent 6.5 years as a justice on our state's highest court. We got to make sure we have somebody as our next AG who has real, actual courtroom experience and can go to war for the people of Alabama and be on offense for our values and our way of life.
Let's get a quick break in here. We're joined by Jay Mitchell. He's a candidate for Attorney General. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. We'll get to those at some point during the show. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.